Praying, Lord, that your word this day will do a great work in men and women's lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Sorry, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 12.
Eight.
Maybe the Lord wants me to preach from Romans chapter 12. Praise God. Well, that made you laugh anyway.
Don't be serious.
Maybe I need all of you. That might be what it might be. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. There you go, that's where maybe 12 is coming from, who knows. And today I want to just share with you the title of the message is Adopted into the Family of God by the Spirit. Adopted into the Family of God by the Spirit. Praise his wonderful name. So Romans chapter
8.
Thank you, 8. And verse 12. Right, I've got it. I've got it now. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Praise God. It's there. And so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Yeah. But if by the Spirit,
amen,
you are putting to death,
yes,
the deeds of the body, you will live.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery,
no,
leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption,
yeah,
as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Praise his wonderful name. So, brethren, sisters, when it says brethren, it means brothers and sisters. Because in Christ there is no male, there's no female. Hallelujah. We are one in Christ Jesus. And so for us, although we have a fleshly body, which now and again causes us some problems, but we know that we have a spiritual body, which is far exceedingly more abundantly stronger and has greater effect than this physical body. And our spiritual body is there for eternity.
It is.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It is perfect. It has been redeemed and it has been set free.
Amen.
And so we need to begin to learn to live within that new redemptive life of that spiritual body.
Yeah.
And that our flesh man will come into line,
yeah,
with the Spirit of God. Let your spirit rule over you. The flesh is our unredeemed side of life. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
at times, our stinking thinking,
yeah,
gets in the way. We start thinking things and we say, well, where did that come from? What happened just then?
Yeah.
And we have to begin to realize that our body needs to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. That the sinful passions of our life and the sinful nature of our life will end up being acted out through our body. That's what it does. And we see it in the world today, how so many are living for self.
Yeah.
And so many are living a sinful life.
Yeah.
And yet the Lord tells us that, you know, it's about living for Him. It's letting Him live through us. The Word says if we live according to the flesh, we will die. Mm. That fleshly body will die. And it will take with it that corrupted spirit to an eternity of condemnation and damnation. But when Jesus came into our life, He gave us new life in the Spirit. That we were no longer, our spirit was no longer condemned because it came from a perfect seed. The seed of Christ. And so we were saved by the Spirit of God. We were healed by the Spirit of God. And we are to put to death the old nature. We're to put to death, it says in the Word of God, the deeds of the flesh. And by doing so, we allow God's eternity to begin to start to live and move and breathe through us. Because when we came to Christ, when Christ came into us, we began the journey of living in eternity.
Amen.
Wow. We're going to live forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're going to live forever.
Yes.
And thankfully, you know, Jesus, when He died on the cross and rose again on that third day, He took upon Himself that new eternal body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No more sickness, no more pain. Glory to God. And so we need to begin to realize we're adopted into that.
We
have been chosen into
yes.
that in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if you live by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body. You will live. Hallelujah. God created you to live. He created Adam and Eve to live forever. God did not have an intention to see humanity suffer and die. God's intention was an eternity for you and for me. And so by Christ coming into our hearts and lives, by acknowledging Him as our Lord and Savior, by saying that, yes, I'm a sinner, I've done things wrong, I've got it wrong.
Yeah.
And by repenting, by telling Jesus, forgive me for all my sins, for all the things I've ever done wrong, we then surrender to Christ, and Christ comes into our lives, and we make Christ the Lord of our life. And in doing so, making Him the Lord of the life, we're moved and we're transferred into the kingdom of God, and we start to move into that eternity that God has for each and every one of us. But we have to first surrender to Jesus.
Yeah.
We have to surrender to Him. We have to surrender and realize that we have failed so many times. And we can't do it on our own. Our works are just as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do that will get us into heaven. There's nothing that we can do is good enough for all the wrongs that we've ever done and all the wrongs that we've ever thought.
Yeah.
But I didn't do them, Andrew. No. But you did think of. And Jesus said, if you think it, you've done it. Wow, that's tough, isn't it? Not one of us left in, is there? Like having a bowling alley with 10 pins and, you know, just rolls it down and strike and you're all out. Because some of us, we, you know, we sat we can sit and then all of a sudden this thought goes crashing back into our hearts, into our minds, and we think, oh, where did that come from? That's why the Bible says, guard, guard your hearts, your minds. And the Word of God is our stronghold. The Word of God is that which keeps us and strengthens us. If we look at Romans chapter 6, and verse 15 and 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? Wow. You and I, if we're obedient to Christ, we have his life.
Amen.
We have his righteousness. But if we're obedient to sin, we face the resulting punishment of sin, which is death. But let us turn to Christ and receive his righteousness, receive his forgiveness, receive his hand of blessing upon us. Because you see, if we walk in the law will cause us, because we can't keep the law, will cause us to come to a point of death. But if we walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it will bring us before the throne of God and before the very presence of God, covered in the righteousness of Christ, covered by the blood of Jesus. That we walk not in the law, but we walk in grace. Not my wife's grace, but the grace of God. That we walk in the grace of God, and that grace of God is for you and for me. So what are you going to be a slave to? Are you going to be a slave to the law? I've got to do this right, I've got to do that right. And by the end of the day, you missed it with one of them, and if you missed it with one of them, you missed it with all of them. It's a tough call, isn't it? In other words, you're not perfect. But yet Jesus came and he fulfilled all the law because he was perfect. And so we have to live under him and in his presence. That living in him and living under his presence then he makes us perfect. And we can walk then in obedience to him. So that a person is a slave to that which he or she is obedient to. What are you obedient to? Are you obedient to the laws? Sometimes we say things and do things and we think, oh, I've missed the mark. I failed that warning. And I didn't mean to. But I did. That's condemnation.
Yeah.
But when we come to God, through Christ Jesus, we're in Christ. Mm-hmm. And Christ did not miss the mark. Paul says, be an imitator of me as I am an imitator of Christ. We're called to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ that should live in us and live through us into this world today that will change other people's lives. If one obeys the commandments of sin, then we are slaves to sin and sin will become our master. And it will lead us to an eternal death. But if one obeys the command of righteousness, then righteousness will be our master. And it will lead us into true eternal life.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. There's eternal life in Christ. There's true life in Christ. And God wants to see you blessed. And God wants to see you in his family, adopted into his family. In other words, being chosen. Being chosen to live with Christ. Romans 8 and chapter and verse 4, sorry. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God?
Yeah.
Or are you led by the flesh? Are you led by your own ways? Or are you being led by the Spirit of God? says being led by the Spirit means to be progressively putting to death the works of the flesh. So if we are led by the Spirit, then the works of the flesh are gradually being crushed and put to death and being destroyed in our lives. You see, when you got saved, something happened to your spirit immediately. But it didn't happen to your mind, did it?
No.
That didn't change.
No.
That's why the Word of God talks about the renewing of your mind. Yeah, sorry, Romans 12. People get saved, you can find they're still cursing and swearing. I mean, we just recently led a gentleman to the Lord, bless him, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now again, he's still giving the expletives out. But yet, when you talk to him about Jesus, and when he talks to you about Jesus, and the fact that Jesus, he said, Jesus came to my room.
Yes,
and he's weeping.
Yeah. Wow.
There's a process. There's a process going on. God's dealing with him. Working on him. Changing him. I remember when my father got saved, he was a smoker. Smoked a pipe. He used to send me down the road to Woff to go and get his player's rough cut tins of baccy. If I'd go down and sat me on the bike and I'd pick his baccy up and take it home. I still got empty tins of that in my garage. You know, using the storage thing. So. And you know, my dad would smoke this pipe. And if you sat in his chair or when you watched TV, he didn't ask you to move. He smoked you out. You know, you could hardly see the TV. You were coughing. You just moved. You know. And that was, and when my dad gave his heart to life for the Lord, he said to my mum after a short while, I'm going to stop smoking. God's convicted me to stop smoking. My mother said, please don't. She knew what he was like when he stopped smoking before. He was irritable. He was gone, you know. He was a pain to live with. She said, no, please don't. Anyway, he did. And you know something? He stopped instantly.
Praise God.
God had brought him to that place. After a few months, God brought him to that place. He said, I need to deal with your smoking. Didn't have a craving. We could see TV then. But God did a work. And we need to let God do his work. And we need to go with God when he's working on us. Don't resist him. Because it's more difficult. Don't pull against. Go with. You know, I say to some people over the years, we've met many people, we've counseled many people, and, you know, God will speak to them about the situation and the circumstance, and we pray about it, we talk to them about it, and yeah, they're going to do it, and then a few weeks later, they come back with the same issue, and they keep going around the mountain. They're walking away from God. They set off and they journey around the mountain and they're taking it with them instead of leaving it there and going on. It ends up, they go round in a circle. And I turn and you're just going around the mountain all the time. And God's like, okay, on your way. And God's saying, well, we're going this way, but they're so locked into this thing, they just go round this mountain. And they get to a point where they come again and say, I've got to deal with this, I've got to get rid of this, you know, so you talk again to them, and then, why don't you just give it up? Why don't you just stop? Oh, it's all right for you, and then off they go around the mountain again, you know, I'm thinking, the number of, I can see one or two being nudged in the meeting tonight, so we'll not ask who's been doing it before. And so going round that mountain, and God's like, God never intended you and I to go in circles.
No.
God has a plan.
Yeah.
God has a purpose.
Yeah.
God has a way for you.
Yeah.
And God has a ministry for you.
Yeah.
And you and I need to begin to press into that.
Yeah.
And if it means getting rid of some old baggage,
then
let's get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like having a leg tied to a stake in the ground, and we just keep walking around it all the time because we can't get any further because the rope won't let us go any further. Cut it. Let the Spirit of God cut it. And then set yourself up free.
Mm-hmm.
And change your thinking on it.
Yeah.
I think I told you about that dog one time that an evangelist had, and this dog was on a chain. And it learned that when it ran to the length of the chain would snatch on its neck. So the dog learned to run as far as it could and stop just before the chain snatched on its neck. So the dog learned that it got a circle that it could run in and it'd worn the grass out down that area. One day the minister decided to try and experiment with the dog. And he went down to the dog and he went inside the dog's circle where the chain was, and he released the chain off the dog. And the minister walked out of the circle and then called the dog to him. And the dog set off running. And then when he got to the edge of the circle, he stopped. There was no chain on it. The dog had been set free. But the dog had not yet realized the freedom.
Yeah.
Loosing that chain gave it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like that. When Jesus has set you free, start to move in that freedom. Don't start looking back at the past. Don't start thinking, well, I can't do this because of that previously. Begin to move in God.
Yeah.
Begin to be obedient to God. Begin to be obedient to the work of God.
Yeah.
Live the life of holiness and righteousness unto God and walk in the power of it.
Yeah. Amen.
Walk in the anointing of it.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you'll see great things.
Mm.
Do you believe it?
I do.
Yeah.
You're going to do it?
Yeah.
Come on, church. You have victory in Christ.
Yes.
Not defeat. You have victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, but Andrew, I failed in the past. So have we all.
Yeah.
I've made mistakes, Andrew, in the past. So have we all.
Yeah.
Don't live with your mistakes.
No.
Think of the mistake that Peter made.
Yeah.
Three times. He denied Christ. Blasphemed him. Ran away. And yet Jesus went looking for him. Go and tell my disciples, Adam, Peter. Looking for him. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is looking. Looking for you. Fresh starts.
Yes.
Fresh purpose.
Yeah.
Fresh anointing.
Yeah.
Fresh infilling. That's what it is.
Mm.
We're adopted.
Yeah.
We have been chosen.
Yes.
Into the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Paul is using this word of adoption specifically to the Romans for a very good reason. And the reason was that when, as the Roman Empire came to power, one of the things that the elite people did, who had all the money and the power, was that if their children, if their firstborns were not up to scratch, were not able to carry their wealth and their name forward, they would look to somebody else who had the ability to carry their name, to look after their welfare, to look after the things that they had achieved and that they had got. And so they picked somebody out and said, "Me, I want you to be my son." And they would actually adopt him and say, "Right, you are now the heir of everything of this Roman. But what about his two sons and his three daughters?" "Well, the two sons are as thick as two short planks, so I know Mick will look after it and take it forward." And that's what they did. That's where adoption really came in. So this is why Paul is using this term here of adoption. In other words, choosing somebody who's absolutely nothing to do with your family. He might even be a slave that you've taken into your household and has proved to be so good that you think, "He's the one who's going to carry my family line on. He's going to be the one who carries my name. He's going to be the one who looks after my welfare and everything that I've achieved." Yeah. And so these were the chosen ones. These were the ones who were adopted, naturally speaking. So adoption came in during that sort of period of time. So Paul is now using this to the church and saying, "You have been chosen. You were not family members. You were slaves to sin. But now you have been chosen as a son. You are the one who is on the deeds of the property. You are the one who's on the deeds of my finances and everything that I own and everything that I have. You are the one who will take care of all these things."
Wow.
Are you hearing that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you hearing what God's saying?
Yeah.
You are the ones.
Yeah.
You are the ones.
Yeah.
To carry my name.
Yeah.
I've chosen you to carry my name.
Amen.
I've chosen you to carry my authority. I've chosen you to do acts of signs, wonders, and miracles.
Amen.
I've chosen you.
Amen.
Don't get excited about it.
Amen.
Glory to God. So as it was a practical, natural thing that happened, so God has done this in us spiritually. Chosen you.
Jesus.
To be a royal priesthood,
yeah.
A holy nation, separated unto God. Hallelujah. And so the Spirit of God wants to work in each and every one of us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery,
no,
leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father."
Amen.
He's my father.
Yes.
Have you made him your father through Jesus Christ? This is the thing. It's not a spirit of slavery, but it is a spirit of that we move into that spirit of freedom in Christ Jesus. We're not living in fear of the judgment of God, but we're living in the fact that God loves us and cares for us. He says that that a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, "Abba, Father, my Father, my loving Father, my Father that cares for me, that wants me. Father that wants to put you on his knee."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And pour into you his love and his wisdom.
Yeah.
explain to you his love and his wisdom.
Yeah.
You might know and understand him more and more. I know people will say, some of us might say, well, I didn't have a good father-daughter relationship. Well, this is a good one. This is a good one. And as we receive Christ, we receive the love of the Father pouring into our lives. That's why we have behind me that sign that says God is love. Love doesn't seek to harm us. Love doesn't seek to hurt us. But love seeks to forgive us. Love seeks to protect us. Love seeks to build us up and to move us forward in Christ. And so we don't have a spirit of bondage unto fear. Praise his wonderful name. But we have a spirit of adoption. In other words, you're chosen. You know, God looked at you and said, I want you. I want you. I'm sending my son to die for you. But you know, we need to change. We need to make sure that we live a lifestyle in accordance with the lifestyle of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we live like Jesus on this earth. That we put away the things of this world and we live like Jesus on this earth.
Amen.
It's a process now of change.
Yeah.
As it talks in Romans 12, the renewing of our minds.
Yeah.
Changing our thinking, changing the way we are, changing the way we do things, and letting God be God. Letting the love of God flow through us from the very throne room of God. Letting Christ, who is seated with his Father, flow in us and through us.
Yeah.
Touching and changing lives. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. In 1 John, it says there, this is what Jesus pours into us. 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 18.
Amen.
1 John, chapter 4, and verse 18. There is no fear in love.
No.
But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. But for God it's perfect love. He's perfect love. Will cast out all our fears. Because fear always revolves around punishment. We're afraid. Why are you afraid? Oh, they're going to punish me. Why are you afraid? They're going to penalize me for something. Why are you afraid? They might sack me. Why are you afraid? Because it all revolves around some form of punishment. Something's going to hurt me. Hear perfect love has come to cast out every doubt and fear and be poured into you and to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. There and deliver those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When you're in fear, you're living in bondage.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I'm afraid to step out. I know as a young man, as a young, even before my teens, I was fearful. I can remember going to Sunday school and, you know, once a year they used to have Sunday school presentations and used to either have to recite something and, you know, they'd always give me something to recite. I didn't want to stand in front of anybody and recite something because I was afraid. Anybody else be like that? I was afraid. Afraid of making a mistake. Afraid of getting it wrong. I hated it. Seriously. And here I am today. And I get it wrong. And I'm still here. But I did, honestly. I feigned sickness not to go. Just thought, it's true. I got good at it as well. Are you not well, Andrew? I was defending because I didn't want to go to school sometimes. I'm not well. You don't look well, love, today. Okay. When they'd gone to work, they were popped back. Suddenly recovered. There was this divine recovery that came over me. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, it tells us there, hallelujah, God at work in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Wow. God did not give you a spirit of fear. The devil might have tried to put it on you. But God did not give you a spirit of fear. God gave you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Some translations, in my translation, it says discipline. The sound mind sounds better.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit more. I'm okay up here, you know. Yeah, I went for a scan and they told me it was all okay. He said it was in good condition, so obviously I've not used it a lot, so but praise God, I'll have to try a bit harder. But a sound mind. That soundness comes from the Word of God. That soundness comes from being locked into Jesus.
Amen.
As we're locked into Christ. Yeah. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ.
Wow.
The mind of Christ. Christ wasn't afraid. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to the Father, if it's possible, take this from me. It was the pressure. It wasn't the fear. It was the pressure. The responsibility of taking upon all, everybody's sins and sickness and diseases. But he said, nevertheless, Father, if it's your will, let's do the Father's will.
Amen.
Let's do the Father's will. Jesus went and did the Father's will. That's why you and I today are here. That's why you and I today are saved. That's why you and I have been set free. That's why you and I have a future in Christ Jesus. That's why you and I have a hope that is steadfast and sure. Hallelujah. And it's all through Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. On that cross, that he took my sins, he took my sicknesses, and he died for me, as he died for you. Hallelujah. You know, fear will only bring us bondage and will bring us death. Let's come to that place of knowing that we have been chosen, we have been adopted. You're not an accident looking for somewhere to happen. I know there are children who were supposedly accidents, and now they're always looking for somewhere to happen. You know, my mum didn't want me, my dad didn't want me. You get that, you know. That was a mistake. And you know, people say, oh, well, you know, they didn't love me, they didn't really want me, and I was just a mistake, so it's like, and they just go on, and then they're bitter about that circumstance. But today God chose you.
Certainly did.
He knows your name.
Amen.
He knows your name.
Amen.
Before you were born, he says he knew you before the foundations of the world.
Amen.
God knew you. And he was calling your name.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Learn, come to the place where you can call him your Father. Abba, Father. My Father. The one who chose me. Picked me out of all the rubbish that was covering my life. And began to wash me. And cleanse me. To make me whole through his word. God knows your name. The reason you're here is because God was calling your name. God has been calling your name. And that's why you're here. As I said in Romans, it was a legally binding document that was put forward, that the inheritance passed on to that next chosen one. Today, you've been chosen. Today, you are being chosen by the Father. In Romans 8 and verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of
God.
Hallelujah. The Spirit gives a witness that we have been chosen. That we are children. Of God.
Yeah.
You're not a beggar. You're not a slave. You're the child.
Amen.
You're of the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And you are children with an inheritance.
Amen.
And in verse 17 says, if children, then we are heirs with Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. We're not just second and third child. We're firstborn. We're all firstborn.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Heirs of Christ. Firstborns. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus taught in Matthew 25 and verse 34. This is just a portion of Matthew 25 and verse 34. It says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Now those are the words of Jesus. These aren't just the words of Paul, but now these are the words of the Christ, the Son of the living God, who says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Your inheritance.
Amen.
The kingdom is yours.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take the kingdom.
Yeah.
Walk in his presence.
Yeah.
Do the work of the kingdom. Do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live in that anointing. Live in his presence. And let the word of God just grow in you and realize that you were chosen.
Thank you.
You were chosen. You know, some children in families get picked out. Oh, our so-and-so is better than our so-and-so. So, you know, they get better favor. That's not really. That doesn't happen in God's kingdom.
No.
You're all equal.
We are.
You're all the Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Live in that adoption.
Thank you.
If you've been struggling with that historically, let Jesus come in and fresh.
Mm.
Let the Spirit of God do that work in you. And let that work just grow within you. And begin to be the Christ,
Amen.
The Son of the living God.
Amen.
Let the kingdom live in you, let the king live in you, and do the work of the kingdom for his praise and for his glory. Remember, you are adopted into the family of God by his Spirit.